Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Hi again, this is Steve Warren, and we have another Spectrum program. We have a repeat guest. His name is John Yang. You may remember him from speaking with us last month. He's the president and executive director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice. And last month, we were talking about the census. First of all, John, welcome back to China America Radio.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be back.
Now, I know last month we talked about the census. And of course, the Commerce Department, the administration, and a variety of courthouses kept moving the goalposts on us on that. Did you think that all those things considered that we did a credible job at getting the people to respond?
I think all the organizations involved did a wonderful job to stay with everything that was happening, keep people updated. Obviously, we would have liked to have more time. The original plan by the Census Bureau was to continue counting until October 31. Then that got curtailed by an about-face by the Census Bureau. But all things considered, we feel good about what the community was able to do.
And when we spoke last month, you mentioned that the thing right on the heels of the census was going to be voting. And that's where we are now. And your organization has a hotline that is open for anyone in the API community. It's 888-API-VOTE. And we've been running some announcements on China America Radio throughout the day and evening promoting this. You did a very quick pivot from the census to the voting thing. So where do we stand now, 2 weeks out, less than 2 weeks out, actually?
That's correct. We're less than 2 weeks out. And the key thing is to make sure that everyone knows their rights when it comes to voting and that they have a plan for how they are going to vote. Obviously, because of COVID-19, so much has changed in many, many states. How you can vote has changed. You can vote early, you can vote by mail, and that causes some confusion with respect to what that means. Because one of the things about our American system is that voting is done by a state-by-state basis, in many cases, even county-by-county. And so those rules might look different in each of these states and counties.
I wanted to bring up a word that has been circulating lately, and I want to apply it to the voting situation, and that is disaggregation. Many people have sort of painted the East Asian populations from different countries with one brushstroke, and then also painted the South Asian populations with another totally separate brushstroke. But they are indeed all separate entities, people from separate cultures, in many cases, thousands of years old. And so I know that when people call into your 888-API vote number, they can speak either in English, Mandarin, Cantonese, Korean, Tagalog, Vietnamese, and then for South Asian, there's Hindi, Bengali, and Urdu. I was wondering if each of these people and each of these cultures bring a different set of questions to want to know about in voting, because they all come from different political stripes originally, but are all, of course, citizens now because they're voters. So I was wondering if we could probably break this down a little bit and see maybe the profiles of some of the different cultures and how they approach our voting history differently.
Sure. And obviously, we're in some ways early in the election season with respect to the types of calls that we're getting on our hotline. But we have operated this hotline for many election cycles. And I think you're right. There are some both commonalities between the voters that call, as well as some differences. Commonalities is probably just the common questions you would expect as to when do I have to mail in my ballot line? You know, what precinct do I go to? You know, how do I check if I am registered? And those are questions that are very common to all of the different languages that we have. You know, sometimes there are nuances. I think within the Vietnamese hotline, we tend to get slightly more questions around privacy, because I think that is a greater concern, especially considering the home country that they might come from. There are also questions about for some of the South Asian languages. They are more accustomed to democracy, so they might have more questions around sort of voting style, around some of these ballot initiatives that might appear. So those are some generalities, but those are some of the things that we start seeing when we start to disaggregate, as you say.
Yeah, I sort of like that word. I was trying to come up with one of my own at some point, and somebody did it for me. So that was very good. The hotline will remain open what hours and until what date?
Right. So the hotline is live, so to speak, from 6 a.m. To midnight, and that is Pacific time. And certainly, I believe that you are able to leave a voicemail if no one answers live, and then we will try to get someone back to you the following day. And we will be doing that all the way through Election Day. Frankly, we are probably going to leave that open for several days after Election Day, because as we all know, there are likely to be some states that might not be called yet. There might be some questions about if I mailed in my ballot and someone tells me that it doesn't count, can I cure it, so to speak? In many states, you can. You do need to fill out some paperwork. You might need to get a witness signature to do that. But there might be that opportunity. So we want to make sure we're available to help answer those questions as well.
So how does the process work? Someone calls in to the main number and they reach like an intake person, who then will dispatch them to the appropriate language?
That's exactly right. And actually, the way it works is you call into this number and then you will have a prompt, you know, press 1 for English, press 2 for Cantonese, et cetera. And then depending on what number you press, that call will essentially get forwarded to someone that speaks that language or that dialect.
Are your intake callers, your people, your different language speakers, are they throughout the country? Are they in a central location somewhere?
That's a good question. It's interesting because in past years, they would have been at a central location, at a call center. And we do have some people throughout the country as well, but we try to centralize it. That way, there are sometimes common questions that our volunteers might have. It's easy to have them all in one place. Because of COVID-19, it's all over the country this year, and it is getting forwarded to phones all over the country.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, because I figured we're all in one room, and someone calls in, and the person who takes the call is not that familiar with the dialect. They could yell across the room, "Anyone here speak Pujanese?" So you could get some help somehow.
That's exactly right. And again, that's part of the world that we're living in. And we try to, as we train our volunteers, we try to sort of make sure we have an understanding of what their skill levels are and try to triage it that way.
Let me talk some numbers, not specific numbers, but general numbers right now. The API community around the United States is a handful of percentages of the population, varying degrees, 4, 5, 6, wherever you happen to be. That is actually more than the margins many elections have been won by in recent history. So what may have seemed like a drop in the bucket in terms of participation can now be quite meaningful with the API community if they throw all their strength of their total numbers behind an election or a candidate or a state or an initiative.
That's exactly right. Take Nevada as an example. Nevada has an Asian American population that is 9% of the state. And certainly elections in Nevada have been won by much, much smaller margins than that. But you look at some of the other battleground states that we have in this cycle, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, although the Asian American population is technically lower than the Asian American population in large states like New York and California, they're still at 3.5%. And all three of those states were won by 1% or less in 2016. So again, you're absolutely right that Asian Americans absolutely can provide the margin of victory in all of these states.
Particularly if the larger populations, whether white or Hispanic or African American, fail to show up in sufficient numbers, that and the Asian voters show up in greater numbers, that can even be more impactful.
It'll be interesting to watch, because when we did our voter survey with APIA Vote and API data earlier this year, during the summertime was when we conducted the survey, voter enthusiasm was high. We had 74% of our people surveyed were very enthusiastic or more enthusiastic than the 2016 elections. So you're absolutely right that we do expect higher turnout among Asian Americans in this cycle than we've seen in the past. And that will definitely translate to significant margins.
Our guest this week on Spectrum is John Yang. He's president, executive director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice. And they have a hotline, which is open as we speak. It's 888-API-VOTE, P-O-T-E. So after the election is over, and that's coming up on November 3rd, and then whatever weeks follow that and the counting is completed, what's next on the agenda for your organization?
Well, after voting, there's a couple of things that we're going to be looking at. Number one is immigration. Certainly is going to be important, regardless of who wins the presidency and who is in control of Congress. Huge issue for the Asian American population, where two-thirds of our population are immigrants. Over 90% are immigrants or either children of immigrants. There's also a more technical issue. I call it a technical issue called redistricting. That's where you determine where the lines are drawn for your precincts, for your members of Congress. And especially with a rise in Asian American population, we want to make sure that we are able to present the political power that we know that we have. So certainly we're going to be doing a lot of studies around where the Asian American population centers are, where we have grown, and where, for example, in New York, we had our first ever Asian American member of Congress, Grace Meng, because of redistricting in 2010. And so we want to look at the same things as where does it make sense for there to be more Asian American political representation.
Are you seeing more Asian Americans showing up down ballot in races in other states and dog catcher and mayor and things like that?
Absolutely. And that's something that is fun to watch, because certainly Asian Americans now, as we are becoming more mature in the United States, what I mean by that is, again, our population is relatively recent. So this notion of political awareness is only starting to mature now. That's a fascinating thing to watch, is who is running for the state assemblies, the school boards, even the local DAs, or the DAs that have elected positions. And because those are also going to be the pipelines to members of Congress, members of the Senate. So absolutely is making sure that people that are interested are trained, people that are interested knows the rules of the road, and regardless of party, that they start getting involved in that process.
The phone number once again is 888-API-VOTE. Our guest, John Yang, President Executive Director, Asian Americans Advancing Justice. John, thank you for getting in here. We'll get this interview on the radio, and we'll be announcing throughout the day and evening the phone number over and over again. Any parting words for anyone prior to this this 2020 incredible year, other than look out for a plague of locusts or whatever else could come down?
Well, thank you very much. The place that I would end is two places. One is I definitely encourage everyone to make a plan to vote and vote. Elections are important and your voice matters. Number two is I want to make sure that people understand that this is going to be probably a high turnout season. We might not have the results on quote unquote election night. That's okay. That means that the process is working. We want to make sure that all the votes are counted and they are counted accurately. So in that sense, it is not a peril if we don't have a quote unquote winner by election night.
Great. Thank you so much, John. Good luck. And let's talk again next year.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you, Steve.
Join us every weekend for Spectrum on China America Radio, a weekly public service program featuring news, information, lifestyle experiences, and stories of interest to our listeners in the United States and around the world. If you have suggestions for future topics or guests to be featured on an upcoming Spectrum program, send them to us at programming@chinaamericaradio.com.